They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, and joining us today is Bill Davis. Bill is in Austin, Texas. And he's an attorney, and he and I have had a whole lot of conversations about what HOAs are and what HOAs are not. And so we're going to be talking a little bit about that. Bill, what is an HOA?
Well, hello, Sue.
Hello, Bill. We did this off the air, and we had a lot of fun, but anyway.
We did. Well, you know, we need to make sure, because people use the term HOA to describe several different types of involuntary membership organizations, but I really don't want to confuse the term HOA with a condominium corporation or a co-op, or and I think in our discussion, it's an involuntary membership corporation, and it's although condos and HOAs have very similar traits. But it's an involuntary membership corporation, and all you when you purchase a interest in the land or the unit, if it's a condominium, but the land, typically a lot in a subdivision, you'll be subjected to involuntary membership in the corporation. In many ways, the lot is kind of like a share of stock in a traditional corporation, except, you know, with real stock, you get dividends, and all you get from an HOA is liabilities. So,
I like that.
Was that a fair statement?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, you know, a friend of mine lived in Reston, and a number of years ago, he said, look, if I buy stocks or if I invest my money into anything, they're supposed to send me a report and tell me how they're doing.
Right.
Right here in my governing documents, it says that the reason for the HOA is to protect property values. Now, please tell me what you're doing to protect my values, and how are my values any better because I'm in Reston? Bill, this sent them into a tailspin. They didn't know what to do.
Well, they love to claim it's about property values. They can't ever prove it, and the restrictive covenants were never written for that, and they don't expect to have any you know, if it was a prospectus with a real company, you know, real companies that don't follow their prospectuses or achieve results, they get sued, and they end up having to pay, usually when it's something wrong by the board. Well, come on now. HOA corporations should bear liability if they're not preserving property value, or all these ridiculous claims made by the industry about property values. But, you know, they're also organized typically as a nonprofit corporation, and they certainly are a nonprofit, aren't they, Sue? At least they're nonprofit for the members. They're nothing but a drain on the involuntary members. That's why they're involuntary. They don't offer anything of value. That's why it's involuntary membership, because if you knew, you wouldn't want to be a member. But if it was actually doing something good for you, you'd volunteer to be, you'd want to join the organization. But most of the evils from this come from the involuntary nature of it, because that's why the board can mistreat people, that's why the management companies can get away with what they do, and that's why the HOA attorneys can get away frequently with what they do, is because membership's involuntary. And I think that's something we need to address.
You've got an hour to do it.
Wow, okay.
I'm going to give you the floor, Bill. But let me tell you something. You know, CAI, I went to one of their law seminars, and one of the presenters there said to treat the homeowners like children because they don't know anything. The board members are the parents, and the homeowners are the children. You don't talk to them like you don't talk to children. You talk to the board members.
Well, I certainly would never view a board member as a parent. And in fact, there's a good friend of mine that you happen to know as well that her comparison is that the management companies and the HOA attorneys are parasites, and the HOA is the host. And that's her comparison of the whole thing. That's pretty absurd to suggest that the people out there are just sheep or children. What does that make the management company and the HOA attorneys? Does that make them child predators? You know, I mean, what other corporation do you know? What other corporation do you know that spends its whole time suing its own members? Okay, that's what these things do. These are not, calling this a nonprofit corporation is kind of a joke. It's not profitable for the members. They're not beneficent organizations, and they are they actually just wreak havoc on the members. And for the most part, they're operated. In fact, I got a case right now where it's very clear that in fact, it's my position that the HOA attorney is representing the interest of the management company and not his own client.
Who is his own client?
Pardon me?
Who is his own client?
Well, that's a good question, but his client is supposed to be the HOA. At least that's what it is on paper.
Okay.
But, you know, when you look at all the discovery requests that got sent out that are all about what kind of attorney's fees he's entitled to and what he should earn and things like this, it starts looking less and less about the HOA and more about him. And when you look at the fees that they're trying to claim are owed the HOA, you investigate it a little bit, you find out that the HOA never paid those fees, is never going to incur those fees. Those fees have been lumped on by the management company, which has falsely, you know, identified those fees on various papers. And, you know, these management companies are supposed to be agents of the HOA, but they are the epitome of the unfaithful agent. Any other regular company or any other type of business, and really this should be true for any business, you put in controls to protect against what's called control fraud. You don't have one person that writes the checks, that manages, that takes care of the bank accounts, that handles the insurance, that does the collections, that handles the accounts payable, that handles the accounts receivable, that receives the bank statements, and that generates the financial reports. You know, it is a perfect, it's just rife with fraud. And that's one of the reasons we have rampant embezzlement throughout the country in these things, right?
You know, when you put it that way, it's like, whoa, you're absolutely correct. That's exactly what they do. And, yeah, it is. But there's billions of dollars that have got to have been embezzled. I know that there's millions and millions, but I think that's just the tip of the iceberg. I was talking to someone the other day who said that less than 10% of crime gets reported. So if you take what we know in terms of how much has been embezzled, and you figure that's less than 10%.
Well, you know, the vendors who are all part of this whole process, they like to advise their clients who are, you know, really stupid enough to buy into this stuff that they shouldn't report this because it might harm property values.
Oh, I know.
Can you believe that?
Oh, yeah, I know. It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. You know, if you don't address it, it's just going to keep going on and on and on and getting worse.
Right.
And the other thing that really gets to me, Bill, is the fact that we're trying to reform these things. We're trying to control them. We're trying to tweak them. We're trying to. So what do we do in Virginia? I know you and I are on the same page on this, and we're singing from the same sheet of music. But what do we do in Virginia? we have this panel. Okay, because there was a story about a management company, Coger Management, that embezzled $2 million. Now, if you take that 10% rule, you figure, try to, you know, come up with a better scenario, a better number. But it was, you know, allegedly $2 million that was embezzled. So because of that, the industry decided, oh, we have to have some kind of oversight because we just can't have this. So they went cap in hand to the Virginia legislature, and they established a panel made up of managers and HOA attorneys.
Yeah.
To control this embezzlement.
Yeah, as we all know, that happens, unfortunately, in a lot of states. That's called regulatory capture, where the industry, the agency is not a protected, well, it is a protective agency, but it'll be given some name like Homeowners Protection or Homeowners Ombudsman or something like that. That's completely the opposite of what it does. Its whole job is to protect the industry participants who are engaging that conduct, to conceal it, get it out of the way. You know, I'm dealing with some people right now that sit on the Texas Unauthorized Practice of Law Subcommittee for the State Bar. And it's becoming apparent to me that they seem to be protecting management companies who are engaged in the Unauthorized Practice of Law as opposed to, putting a stop to it. And we'll get to the bottom of some of those things. But, it might be kind of fun to get the State Bar individuals on that committee who aren't involved in the industry to look into this case a little bit, but we'll see.
That'll be interesting, and you've told me a little bit about the case, and I know you don't want to discuss it now, but when it's all over with and you win that one,
I will say this much. I'm pretty certain it's a major problem for the industry, because if you look at George Steropoli just filed a lawsuit in Arizona through a public interest group to oppose a bill that I think the representative's name is Ugenti in Arizona. She tried to file a bill that would protect these property management companies from liability for the unauthorized practice of law. I mean, it's straight on point. It's trying to claim, they're permitted to do this, they're allowed to do this, you know, if they have a contract, if it's been reviewed. There's all sorts of provisions. It's clearly designed to try to get the management companies out of liability for the unauthorized practice of law, for going around and filing these liens, affidavits of lien, notices of amounts owed on the lien, and all this other junk stuff that they go file in the county clerk's record in order to cloud homeowners' titles. And, of course, they do it to extort money from the homeowners. You know, they cloud up their titles. And the funny thing is, Texas, it was prohibited in Texas, but Texas put in a law in 2011 that really didn't change the law. It's put in a different area of the statutory scheme in Texas to put a big red flag up to the management companies, stop doing this. There were actually management companies that had released the HOA's lien whenever the management company filed a release of those liens, and it's the funniest thing. I just think it couldn't happen to a nicer group of people. But that homeowner was put through that, and then the homeowner subsequently finds out the HOA can never lien them or foreclose on them again in the future. What a wonderful outcome on that one. But yes, I think that's a nationwide problem, and I wouldn't doubt it if the industry, tries lobbying this next session, as they obviously did in Arizona, and as the battle already took place and they lost in Texas, that this is an unauthorized practice of law. So
that's part of your lawsuit as well, right?
I have a lawsuit with that as an issue, yes.
And when you win that one, you will come back and tell us all about it, right, Bill?
Absolutely.
You know, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really, really interesting.
Okay.
So what do you say to all the people who are trying to fix it, reform these HOAs? You've got all these organizations out there for the reform of HOAs.
I know, and I think they need to take a step back and look at the whole function. It's like, look, if you want a government, form a government. But what you really want is you know, somebody that gets to operate immune from governmental restraints, and that's where the danger comes in. You want to give them the power of the government and say they're immune from governmental restraints, and that's what's happened in every one of these HOA cases. And I think that those folks will never achieve their goal. I mean, the people that founded this country, you know, they had already experienced these things. That's why we have a lot of the content of the Constitution, is because the founders debated and experienced many of the things that are going on in HOAs now. You know, the freedom to associate with who you want, freedom from having your property, takings, eminent domain and takings type litigation. Why is it okay when an HOA does it? Why is it okay when your neighbors, the suggestions that they can vote to deprive you of, you know, your use and enjoyment of your property? Not as a government, but as a private entity. That's insane. And, you know.
It all comes under contract law. They've taken life and your constitutional rights, and they've put it in a contract. And now it's a different, it comes under a different area of the law. And people accept this.
Right, yeah, I mean, that's, you know, what gets me is this belief that you have a blind obligation to pay money just because somebody said so, that it's not for any services, there's no obligation on the HOA to do anything, that you somehow just have this obligation to pay a fee into perpetuity, or you can lose your property. You know, there's not, the only other entity that I can think of that comes close to having that kind of authority is a local government that has ad valorem taxation power. And these things are not local governments. That's the whole point. This is not, you know, they call it a charging lien in some states. But I think the fundamentals of these things need to be challenged. And there's a, you know, this calling these things contracts is a joke. They're not contracts in any sense of the word, because they're not negotiable. There doesn't have to be any meeting of the minds. There's no contractual defense that applies most of the time in these cases, and that you would have under contract law. So the question is, well, what? How is this really a contract? But that's how they're interpreted. And even worse, you know, the cities have gotten in on, the local governments have gotten in on mandating particular restrictive covenants and then claiming it's a private agreement. So not only do they force the creation of the imposition of restrictive covenants as part of the development process, they'll also require other things so that at least one of the restrictive covenants is going to force, you know, is going to impose mandatory membership or involuntary membership in an HOA to pay for what the city imposed. And I think that that's a state action issue, which again is something that George Taropoli has brought up, you know, many years over time, about this is really state action. This isn't a private agreement. This is state action. This is public policy. I believe Evan McKenzie's brought the issue up too.
It's been around for a long time, Bill, and in fact one of the, and I can't think of her name, but there's a, it's on the tip of my tongue, but one of the female CAI attorneys, industry attorneys, wrote a paper some years ago and said that there's every reason in the world for these to be called state action. But she thought that it would be a good idea not to do that, because then it would alter the entire thing. But no, Rosenberry, Catherine Rosenberry. Catherine Rosenberry wrote a paper, 20 years ago, about these things being, you know, state action existing in associations.
Yeah.
And saying, well, I hope the courts don't fine for that, because then it's just going to alter the entire image. I've got that someplace. But yeah, state action's been talked about a long time.
Yeah, and you know, what's kind of comical about some of these things is what created these problems was privatization. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not a big social, you know, the government solves problems, you know, trust the government. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. But the problem has been this privatization and the solutions to the fraud, the embezzlement, and everything else have been frequently more privatization, which only exacerbates the problem. And you're going to have to start getting rid of it in order to clean it up. I mean, you know, Texas, the proposals a couple of years ago, and I'm sure they have the same thing in other states, because guess who's always lobbying for things like this? To remedy election fraud, they want you to have another, you know, a private company do the election ballot counting in the HOA. Well, that's not going to do any good when you've got, you know, some HOA management company organizations that are holding companies for umpteen other management companies. They'll just create the ABC vote counting company, and the next thing you know, the votes are going to come out exactly the way that the need to be for the current management company, which is another subsidiary of the same company, needs to retain its contract. You know, and all that's because all these players have a stake in it. They profit from it. They're not independent. And I'm just rambling on now, Shu.
Bill, I want to go back to something you said earlier.
Okay.
And we talked about this the other night. You said something about HOAs not having an obligation to provide services for the assessments, that it's just assessments that are going into this big hole, and there's no obligation of the association to do anything other than collect that money.
Well, they don't even have an obligation to do that, but of course the vendors are, that's what pays the vendors, so you can ensure that that gets done. But the, you know, most of the restrictive covenants I've seen that are supposedly this contract, there's supposed to be some consideration for a contract. You know, and buying a house from somebody else is not consideration for paying a third party monies into perpetuity on a lien that can never be paid off. What's the consideration there? But most of the restrictive covenants I've ever seen, very, very rarely do they impose an obligation on the HOA. In fact, I think one of the big cases in North Carolina, I think it was, this is a good example of it, was Armstrong versus the Ledges at Hidden Hills. Now, that was a North Carolina Supreme Court case. The industry wanted to go back in, all CAI attorneys wanted to go back in and convert an existing non-HOA subdivision into a mandatory or an involuntary membership HOA, complete with lien and foreclosure powers on people's homes. And they're trying to do this all over the country, not just in isolated places in North Carolina. And North Carolina had a Planned Community Act. And, you know, they looked at that, and it was the Supreme Court of North Carolina did, and I believe that was the case where they noticed that, you know, there's no obligation for the HOA to maintain any roads or to do any of these types of things. So claiming you had to have one was ridiculous. And that was a case where the subdivision was built without one to begin with. Well, I look at most of the restrictive covenants around that I've seen. They do not impose an obligation on the HOA. They impose all sorts of powers on the corporation, like all sorts of authority, but it's pretty rare that they impose any type of obligation on it. And in fact, most of the time, there's express language in there that states that it has no obligation, even if it has the authority or right or whatever else. So, you know, even if there's private roads, there's nothing that says the HOA has to maintain them typically, or has an obligation to maintain them. So the next question is well, then where's the contract? Why do you have to pay assessments to this organization? Because surely there's something more to it than providing board members with insurance in order to perpetuate an HOA board and an HOA. You can bet that that's one of those things that the board will make sure gets done. Or to pay the management company monthly fees for, you know, harassing homeowners. But there's generally not an obligation in these things. And I'm sure people will disagree with me, but most of the restrictive covenants I've seen impose absolutely no obligation on the HOA, and there's plenty of cases out there which note that the HOA has no obligation. And homeowners get surprised when they find out, oh, they're paying this money and the HOA has no obligation to them. So why are they paying the money? What's that for?
You know, that's a good question. That's something in 13 years of doing this show, and by the way, we're starting our 14th year.
Yay!
Yay on the comments. But in all the years, that's not something that's ever been brought up that I recall, that the association has no obligation. I think there's a tradition that associations will pick up the trash and pay the street lights and, you know, things like that. So there's an assumption that they're obligated to do it, and there's an assumption that that's what you're paying for, but what you're telling me now is that that's not the case.
That's, and most of the ones I've ever read, now you might be talking about a townhome situation, but even the large HOAs, I realize that some of them are involved in trash pickup. But if you look, you may find out that they don't have an obligation to do that. And frankly, there's no reason to insert the HOA between a utility provider for water, gas, electric, or for trash pickup. It just introduced another entity, because now you've, well, it's kind of like securitization in some ways, but you've introduced another entity. These homeowners are paying supposedly for services, but when their money goes into the HOA, it just gets converted into the HOA general funds. The HOA has no obligation to them, so as we've seen, and this happens all over the country, they pay their money, they've paid for assessments that are supposed to cover water, gas, electric, trash, whatever else, then the HOA doesn't pay the bill. Or the other direction, the vendor may have the utility provider may have a fee for its service, and it's going to pass the bill to the HOA, and you'll have an HOA management company that's trying to tack on a chunk of change onto, you know, the HOA is not a utility. It's not a utility provider. And it really shouldn't be interfering in the relationship between the utility, which are usually highly regulated by law, and the customer. And you've got these parasites that are called HOA management companies that, you know.
You know, you're going to have to learn how to express yourself and not hold back there, Bill.
I'm sorry, say that again?
You're going to have to learn how to express yourself and not hold back the parasites that are...
How many news stories have you seen where people have paid assessments over and over and over again, and the you know, the HOA, the water's being cut off by the city or whoever the local
service provider is. Oh yeah. No, that happens all the time, and that's sort of predominantly in condominiums. And you live in something that's very rural with big lots, right?
Yes.
And some of the associations, and I heard from a city employee in some city in Florida many, many moons ago, wanting to know how to force the homeowners to reestablish the association. I said, you're calling the wrong person, mate.
the city of Houston, there's this great article in the city of Houston, in the Houston Chronicle, I believe it was, just a couple of years ago. I have that article, and it reads something like Broke Homeowners Association, something about the trash. And it has one of our favorite, you know, large, gargantuan HOA management companies that received money from the homeowners for many years, then disappears overnight. Nobody knows where the money is. Nobody knows where the books are. And the representatives of the management company actually stated that there had not been a board for 5 years. Really? Well, who authorized the management company to act on behalf of the board or continue receiving monies or to send people threatening letters? I couldn't even believe that they actually admitted that there had not been a board for 5 years. And the city of Houston wanted to go force an HOA on the people over there to get them to straighten up. You know, why? That's just the most ridiculous thing. I mean, first of all, you know, what they're implying is that the city of Houston doesn't have a power on its own. Whatever the homeowners did, they got ripped off. But the you know, trash was piling up because the trash pickup wasn't paid for. But the other problem with that is that the city of Houston, you know, you pay taxes.
Right.
And in fact, this is a big issue in, you know, one of Gwen's cases, that the private companies, when the city of Houston took over Clear Lake City, which had been in the outside city limits, people were paying taxes to the city of Houston. They weren't getting the services. So the city of Houston started subsidizing the trash pickup because taxes were supposed to be going in part for trash pickup. Well, that's when you found the vendors were skimming and trying to conceal all the records and everything else. It's essentially an embezzlement operation because there was no direct connection between the homeowners paying, you know, the homeowners were not getting trash service directly from the city of Houston, or they were having to pay a separate fee even though they also pay taxes. And the HOA was in between them and the city of Houston and the trash provider. The same thing happened in, I think it was Aldine Village in Houston, where, the trash starts piling up. Nobody knows what happened to the money, even though people paid. And the problem is having an HOA involved in it to begin with. It shouldn't be there at all. There was no need. It was obviously wasn't there, and it didn't have an obligation to be there. And there's no reason those people can't contract individually with a trash vendor, just like most people do for electricity and everything else. But putting this HOA between you and the utility is not good.
Well, I know that HOAs typically, I live in an old one, and they do provide trash service, snow removal. We do own the streets, some of the streets, not all of them. The state owns the others.
Sue, if someone said that the HOA here was offering snow removal, I'd go back to the HOA is not obligated to do anything. You know how often we get snow around here? Or anything worth it's, you know.
we do get snow, and somebody, a gentleman with a plow, decided that he was going to plow out his street because the state, and it wasn't in my subdivision, it was in Virginia. The guy went out and it was sort of a street that the plows never get to. It's the end of the road. And so out of the goodness of his heart, he plowed out his neighbors and he plowed out the street because he had to plow. But he did it on state-owned streets, and the state went berserk. So, you know, again, you pay for things and you still don't get services, and you just get this nonsense, this territoriality. It's like, this is my street. How dare you remove the snow and make it easy for your neighbors to get out? You know, and HOA is not involved there. I mean, what are we thinking, Bill? This is one of the most convoluted, ridiculous ways of living that I've ever seen.
I think it's a farce, and they need to be terminated. And there isn't anything that the industry comes up with that can't be handled by imposing a legitimate, you know, governmental body that is it's a recognized governmental body that's adheres to constitutional provisions. This nonsense about, oh, you contracted away from that. Look, the whole point of having a constitution is it's a social compact. And it is larger than the HOA. It's part of a larger society, and it describes how you interact with people. You can have contracts, but these things are not contracts. And the fact that local government mandates them, you know, all the industry's claims of choice, and you knew it when you moved in there. My gosh, you, after being involved in a number of real estate transactions, you start recognizing just what a whole fraud the whole real estate industry is. You know,
oh yeah.
I won't get off topic too far here, but I was working with a fellow to help in a closing a couple of weeks ago, and we were trying to get copies of the documents in advance of the closing. You know, you go buy a piece of property. What irks me is these, the HOA attorneys and the CAI and the management companies all love to proclaim you knew it when you moved in there, except they expect you to have to pay hundreds and hundreds of dollars to them in order to get copies of documents that really, if it's essentially a prospectus, they should be obligated to hand them out for free to people that are planning to buy out there or looking at buying out there. But when you get to closing, they rarely have the documents available for you ahead of time. You get there, and the title company is part of this too. Sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here. You got 15 minutes. We got another closing right after you. It's not. They like to claim it's about disclosure, but you know, you go to these events and once you're emotionally or financially invested in it, put all the time into it, it's really about non-disclosure, but giving the appearance of disclosure. Hey, you signed this document. You saw this at closing. You knew about it. Yeah, you got to see the signature line on the page while they flipped through about 100 of them asking you to sign them. But why can't we get these documents ahead of time? Why do you need to spend hundreds of dollars to find out that this HOA has got 15 lawsuits against it, or that it sued half of its members or foreclosed on a large number of its members, or that it's adopted the priority of payment scam like so many of them have in many states. It's a racket. I don't see anything positive about these things. There's nothing positive about that.
You know what, Bill? I had someone from CAI, and I don't honestly remember who it was. It was at the beginning of, when I first started doing the show. And I said, why don't we provide all of the disclosures up front? Because they were whining about these homeowners, these malcontents, and they agreed to this, and they're not doing. So why don't we provide it to them? Give them all the information, like the warnings that are put on cigarette packs. If you smoke this, you're gonna die. So if you buy here, you're gonna die. Tell them the truth. And he was in the studio, and he looked at me, and he goes, "Oh my God! If you told people what they were buying into, they'd never buy into it." So that's why you're not getting the paperwork. Even in states where you have laws, you're still not getting everything you need to know.
Right. And a lot of times, the resale certificate provisions, or whatever the equivalent is called in other states, sometimes it's part of the estoppel certificate process or something else. The industry's work to have provisions that says, oh, their failure to provide all the documents, it's not... I'm paraphrasing. It's not actionable. You've got, these are supposed to be disclosure documents, but they're...
Volunteers.
Right. If they provide you wrong documents or they don't provide all of them, they're not liable. Come on now. That's ridiculous.
Guys, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I hate to be a wet, damp rag, but it's not going to work. I've been watching these things for 25 years, and they've been tweaking them and caressing them and massaging them and lying about them and propping them up and adding laws, and it's nothing works. It just goes from bad to worse to worse to worse, so it's not going to work. This is Radio Fairfax. You're on The Commons. I'm Sue Bartholomew, and we are talking to Bill Davis from Austin, Texas. And Bill's got some very definite ideas about what HOAs are and what HOAs are not, and he is a lawyer, so he has a very good, keen legal mind. And so let's talk.
Okay.
Bill, yes. So they don't want you to know what you're buying into. You've heard the story a million times of when I went to Celebration, Florida.
Yes.
And asked to see the governing documents, and they wouldn't show them to me. They said if I bought a house that they would give them to me, and I said, well, how do I know if I want to buy a house if you're not going to let me see them? And so they finally gave me a couple of pages, and I said, these are the governing documents as recorded, right? These are the governing documents from the documents as recorded. And no, I want them as recorded, not from them. So they said, this is all there is. Well, it turns out that it's the size of a phone book. And they gave me 4 or 5 pages. They didn't want me to see it. They said, this is the worst of it. Yeah, right.
Holy mackerel.
I know. And this is the model for HOAs. Or it was at the time.
Well, I think maybe if the county clerks are looking for revenues, we need to get these property management companies. They're not property management companies. I don't live in a rental. I didn't rent my property out. I didn't ask these people. I didn't contract with them for anything. I can't
Good
believe
point.
You know,
Good
they call
point.
Themselves property management deals. And now the really absurd thing is the claim that they're community managers. What a joke. They're not mayors. Most of them, I don't mean to most of them, wouldn't be qualified for used car sales, or they're kind of on the same, par with your most unpleasant.
What have you got against used car salesmen, Bill?
I need to pick another example. I shouldn't have picked on used car salesmen. But this community manager, give me a break. And the idea, you need to be taught how to. There's so much in the materials is pablum about the proper way to act and to behave. I mean, come on. It's. That's just stuff that they put out there so that they can get on with their fining and their notices of violations and all their fee pyramiding schemes and foreclosure businesses. But they certainly don't follow their own propaganda. And by the way, Shu, this trade group, you've done a great job with, you know, interviewing them and asking some hard questions, you know, the few times that they've actually been willing to show up and be responsive. But, you know, they claim to have these various levels of ethics and professionalism and to provide certain punishments. But have you ever heard of a CAI manager or any of these other people ever being punished or held out negatively or chastised by the organization?
I have actually asked for that information,
mm-hmm.
and was told that it was, you know, it was confidential, that they weren't going to do that.
Basically non-existent, yeah.
Yeah, it was, okay, so you've got all this pretty speak over here. What have you done with it? And I had, I think the last time anyone from CAI was on was Tom Skiba,
yes.
The CEO of CAI,
mm-hmm.
and he was asked that question, whether anybody had ever been chastised or decredentialed or any of that stuff, and he said, "Oh yes, of course." I said, "What about Coger management?"
No,
because they had just embezzled. I mean, the only reason they were caught is because Jeff Coger tried to shoot a cop, and the cops didn't like that. The fact that they had embezzled $2 million, well, that's okay. We don't need to worry about that. But shoot a cop, we'll get him. So they got him. And when I asked Tom Skiba, I said, "Tom, did you do anything with Coger management? Or how about the management company?" That's right. We had a call-in who wanted to know if the management company in the Winona Blevins Association that foreclosed on her was sanctioned. And he said no. And why not? Because nobody filed a complaint.
Yeah, even though they had direct knowledge of it nationally and...
The world knew about it. My mother talked about it. It was on BBC in England.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, nobody complained about it?
Well, they're just as bad with the... You know, the managers aren't really licensed, right? You were the one pointing out their self-accreditation scheme. I mean, what a joke. It's kind of like they're paid-for surveys. But they also have a lawyer group. I think they call it a college of... The CAI College of, I don't know.
Community Association Lawyers.
Yeah, Community Corporation Lawyers. CCC is what it is. It's like, oh, Russia. But they should. You know, they're really averse to using the word corporation because they wouldn't want people. They want to confuse people with what the word association means. People make mistake when they hear the word association. They do not perceive it properly. And the industry knows that. That's why everything uses the word association. That's why they put a capital A for association wherever they get a chance. They don't call their managers community corporation managers because, you know, that's just another negative, a corporation, oh gosh, except they are corporations, and it's deceptive to call them anything else. But
well, aren't HOAs corporations or condos or, you know,
yes,
I'm using,
yes,
they're corporations,
they're,
right?
Yes, they're the condo corporation, the HOA corporation, but the name association is kind of like calling the Federal Reserve federal. You know, it's a private company. It's not federal. And the same thing with these HOAs. They're not associations. They are corporations, and they are involuntary membership corporations. But stepping back to CCAL real quick, or whatever the name of that group is with CAI, that's the attorneys. That's like the rogues gallery of folks that have gotten into trouble with the state bar,
yeah,
and with the courts for their debt collection practices.
Yeah, yeah, and they get that. It's like any community that gets the community of the year, month, or whatever award, you do a little digging and you find out that they've had some embezzlement issues and they've had some internal problems. So every time I see, hey, you know, we're going to put the banners up and we're flying the flag for this association, I wonder, uh-oh, what have they been doing there?
That was the one that was most lucrative for the trade group, yeah, that's what it was. The most lucrative HOA, you know, that's how they got the best of the year award. Yeah,
we are so disrespectful, aren't we, there, Bill?
Well, I think they've earned it. You know, it's their own behavior. It's not they've earned
it.
I think it's time for a little larger investigation into this group. You know, I'm glad the FBI is looking into the group of a very few people in Nevada, people say, well, gosh, there's 30, you know, people that have been indicted and judges and cops and several, quote, suicides, you know. But the problem is much larger than one or just a couple of condos in Las Vegas. It is ubiquitous. It is ubiquitous with this trade group, and it's the problems in every state, and you know, it's expanding. The only positive thing I can see is that even though there are more of these things proliferating due to not demand, but by government mandate and developer desires to shift liability and to shift control, but there's more and more and more people that are adamantly opposed to having anything to do with them, especially somebody that ever owned one. And, you know, we'll try to never, ever go back and buy one again. And you see a lot more of this. I participate in a number of forums. And, you know, just a few years ago, the forums are generally run by real estate professionals. You know, they're moving, relocating type forums. And so you got realtors who are mainly concerned about getting sales. And, my gosh, they're hard selling those HOA properties. Why? Because it's a big part of their book. But they don't like to say negative things about them. But there's been more and more people that make an express, I want nothing to do with an HOA. And it's just a couple of years ago, at least in the forums I've seen, the realtors were downright antagonistic and, you know, why wouldn't you want that? Oh, it preserves your property values and all this other nonsense, just complete lies. And, you know, I haven't seen them putting up that kind of a protest
in
a while. Yeah, it doesn't hold water. It doesn't around here. I mean, and this is, you know, supposed to be a hot real estate market, the Austin area. But, I mean, people know, I think generally the populace is, you know, unfortunately there's a lot of people that still don't know, but I think people are generally wising up to that whole bunch of hoo-hoo, you know.
Well, I know that a lot of people don't want HOAs, and a lot of people will say flat out, I don't want it. Now, there's some people, and we were talking about privatization a little while ago, and there's some people who will say something along the lines about, oh, yes, but I would really like to have a community pool. I don't want to maintain one. They're expensive. They're a lot of work, but I want a community pool. And we talked about privatization, Bill, and I've said this a million times. You don't have to have a pool owned by an association. You want to privatize things, then have companies, real private companies that come in. Pools are us, off the deep end. We'll build a pool. We'll build it in your neighborhood. It doesn't have to be in a subdivision. It can be in the neighborhood. And if you want to belong to it, then you pay for it. But your house is not going to be held hostage.
Right.
To maintain this pool that's being run by either the parasites or people who really don't have a clue as to what they're doing. You know, when they don't know the repairs, yeah, sometimes you'll get pool managers coming in and saying, oh, you know, you need to do this with the pool, you need to do that with the pool, you're going to have cracks and foundations and all that. So boards, yeah, okay, we'll just, you know, take out the reserves and let's go.
Two things with that. One, calling it a community pool is a joke. It's not a community pool. It's a pool owned by an involuntary membership corporation. And people frequently in the industry loves to try and confuse the HOA with the, quote, community. Hey, it's a corporation. Under the law, it is a person. At best, it's one member of the community. It is not the community. That's number one. But number two, it isn't just the pools. And the problem with these things is that the developer or the controlling interest in the board is going out and burdening an entire subdivision many, many, many times with huge amounts of debt. Their homes become security for the debt that they never agreed to.
Right.
And it's all through this involuntary membership thing. And one more thing on that debt, there has been a push in state after state by this industry to separate the assessments from any obligation to do anything on the property. They have been lobbying and petitioning in various states to give boards authority to borrow money when they didn't have it and without the consent of the homeowners, okay, then to allow the boards to go to borrow money, not just to borrow money at all, but to borrow money and then to borrow it without the consent of the homeowners and then to secure that debt with the assessments. Now, what's really curious in Texas, they did this on condos pretty recently, this last legislative session, and the language they used was assigning the assessment deal. Why? You know, it's one thing to have a security interest, but an actual assignment is a conveyance of the HOA's right in it, or the in this case, the condo's right in it.
Go back and tell me that again.
They're actually providing the... In this case, it was condominiums, but they're trying to do the same thing for various types of involuntary membership corporations. Separating, you know, you remember the FHFA rules that came out a little while ago about transfer fees?
Yes.
Okay, well, generally, and although Tom Skiba has some newsletter out about it, he's mischaracterized the outcome of that. They're requiring...
Surprise.
Well, he did. The FHFA rule is pretty clear. It requires that the fee be used to benefit the property, meaning... Not the vendors, not the services, that's not what the rule says, means benefit the property, which is the property that the loan is for, not generically the HOA, which has no ownership interest in the property, or other people's property, but the property, okay? But the theory is that, well, as long as the fee is benefiting the property, if it's, something to benefit the property, it's okay, because there's many states that have invalidated transfer fees on the theory that it has no relationship, it doesn't benefit the property, you can't charge this fee. It goes back to, like, old English law from 700 years ago. In this case, I'm sorry, Shua, I lost my train of thought. What we were talking about...
Transfer fees.
Yeah, but it was something right before transfer fees, because I was analogizing it to the transfer fees. The borrowing the money. The theory is that, you know, well, supposedly somehow these assessments are going to benefit the property. Condominiums are different in Texas in many states because they have their own statutes. It's a purely statutory form of ownership. It was generally written by industry people to begin with, and it's almost always horrible for homeowners to start off with. But condos are a little different. But what they did this last session in Texas was give boards that didn't have the authority to borrow money to borrow money. Then they gave them power to borrow the money without getting the consent of the homeowners, okay? So not only do they have the power, now they have the power to do it without getting the consent of the homeowners, and to assign the condo's right to the assessments to another entity to secure payment of whatever debt that they get. When you have an assignment, what you're going to see happening is the, condos, there's a little bit more... tying of assessments to some obligations because of condo law, at least in this state. HOAs, that's not the case. But I think what you're going to see is more rampant financial fraud going on where the assessment, and of course they'll get advised by management companies who have a stake in the loan. This happened to somebody else you've interviewed not that long ago. One of the management companies was trying to promote borrowing money from one of the community association industry banks, and in return to secure payment of it with the assessments, except they wanted an outright assignment of the assessments. Well, that means the bank can turn around, and if it's an assignment, the bank can turn around and assign it to somebody else. The bank owns it. They weren't doing it as a security interest. They were doing it as an outright assignment. That's number one. Number two, the next problem is, even as a security interest, at some point, depending upon how the document is crafted, a typical security interest, you can foreclose on it in order to, if the terms of the contract aren't being met. Right, that's what HOAs do all the time. They claim, oh, it's a contract, you failed to pay your assessments, therefore we're foreclosing upon you.
You agreed.
Okay, well, what happens when they foreclose on, assessments into perpetuity are an infinite accounts receivable. Depending upon how the security instrument is implemented, they don't just take the right to collect assessments until the money's paid. They take it forever.
Yeah.
Okay? And that the money does not, there's no obligation for the money to be paid, to be used for anything in the subdivision. And so I think, with this movement to strip to enable HOAs to borrow, that's already a huge problem for homeowners because they don't have any individual control over any of it. I know. We're going to hear some statement from the industry. Oh, you need to get involved in your HOA, and it'll make sure the right people are on the board, and all that kind of nonsense. But you're gonna see bigger financial scams going on because why do you think that they wanted to strip the assessments away from the condos or from the HOAs? It wasn't just to borrow money. It was kind of to enslave people to have to pay these assessments into perpetuity for nothing. You know, this will get sold several times is what's going to happen. And then the project will end up becoming a true project.
Well, you know what, Bill? If that happens, maybe at some point it's going to get such a mess that they're going to have to come in and clean it up, just like the FBI went into Nevada and cleaned it up. I asked Mike Schneider last week when I interviewed him, I said, do you think it's going to remain clean? And he said, well, maybe for a year or two. But he said, you know, people are people and human nature, and it's going to slide back again. So that's a happy thought. Home sweet home, hey?
Oh, yeah. As I recall that case, there were people stealing money even while the investigation was going on. I mean, they were pity brazen about the whole thing.
Yeah. It was horrible. Bill, we're out of time.
Oh, well, Shu, it's another wonderful week.
Can you believe that?
No, there's so many things to discuss about these organizations.
You'll be back. You'll be back.
I hope it's soon with good news.
I hope so, too. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. And thank you, everyone, for joining us. Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.